we're here tonight. It's our Wednesday night service. Usually we have a roundtable discussion, and I'm here with Pastor Sam on my right and Pastor Tim on my left. And he's checking to make sure that we're okay with our sound system. So check, we're good.
And we got a rectangle table.
Tonight. Yep. It's always a rectangle table. I want to first thank our web people, internet people, I call them.
Listeners.
Our listeners, yeah. That are listening to us live or they're listening to us record it. And I want to thank you for your PayPal contributions. Mostly the ones that actually come to the Glory Barn are ones who have been hitting the PayPal when they're not here, which I really appreciate that. And I want to thank you very much for those that are out and about who aren't able to make it to the barn, but yet still keep us in their support. You know who you are, and I want to thank you very much for that. It's much needed, especially this time where we're in, and I just wanted to lay that out. If you are going to donate, and you haven't donated to our ministry yet, and you would like to see God do some great things in your life, I'm a big believer of when you sow into the kingdom, God sees your heart, and he rewards you openly, and he'll bring blessings back to you. And this is truly good green soil, good rich soil here, and well saturated with water, and your seeds will grow, and it'll probably produce a really nice harvest. So hit that PayPal button, and you want to see some things hit, you know, and you want some breakthroughs in your life. We also have a prayer clause, too, that we would like to send you, and we've been getting a tremendous amount of testimonies with these. Please follow us because there is a flow that is being brought across, and we're hearing the voice of God, and he's instructing us and leading us and guiding us because he's doing something miraculous. He's about to pour glory out that we've never seen before, and it's a wonderful thing. Whether it's an end of an age or a beginning of a new one, this glory is for those that are out and coming in. So just please log on and listen to what God is saying. And tonight, we're going to elaborate on what was spoken on Sunday, but we're also moving into what is coming up this Sunday. And we're in the middle of the week, and you know, as we're listening to God, he's instructing us on what he is saying. And right now, I want to enlighten us as far as last week's. We spoke about prayer, what exactly is prayer. And prayer is not using vain repetitions of words, as this book here, the Bible, speaks about. And many might know it, many might not know it. But it speaks about this in this book, about not using vain, repetitious words, because God already knows what he has planned for you. He already knows what our needs are. He already knows everything about us. And it's very important for us to understand what prayer is. I broke it down on Sunday that it's more of a character. You know, you carry yourself in prayer in a sense of, I used the reference of the prayer Jesus spoke to the disciples about, or the apostles, and what it was glorifying God. We can't change circumstances, so it's not our will, but his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Always seek that manna, wisdom, revelation. Give us this day our daily bread.
Keep us away from the evil one.
Yep. Lead us not to allow us to forgive us as we forgive those who has done us harm. And this is very important about forgiveness, and this is prayer. So when you carry yourself in the sense of glorifying God, understanding who God is, and the magnitude of his authority and in the heavenlies, and you come to that place of knowing that you can't change anything, so it's the Father's will on earth as it is in heaven, and you come to that place of forgiveness, and so our Father in heaven can forgive us, and then have a cry in our heart that we're subject to fall. We're subject for temptation. So deliver us from, don't lead us into temptation. You know, kind of give us the strength to avoid temptation. Have that in our heart and deliver us from the evil one. And then go back into worship, understanding that God is the one with all glory, might, and power. And understanding that whole concept and making it a lifestyle of an awareness in your heart and always looking towards that, you are now in prayer 24/7. That's what he means by praying without ceasing, you know, not stopping with prayer. But I want our listeners to begin to start understanding what our makeup is. And I sent something on Facebook, those that are following us, I mentioned that the carnal nature or the human nature is made up of fear. And the spirit, the divine spirit nature of humans is made up of love. And our whole objective right now is to be transformed or become born again. But to be transformed and born again, we are transforming and being born again into love. And some people might ask us, what kind of religion are you? Are you Christian or are you this or are you that? You know, I would like to tell my religion is love.
Because God is love.
Yep.
And I've been posting, you know, God is love and love is God. And, you know.
Lover of God. That's what we always said all the time.
Lover of God. So if anyone ever wants to know what our religion is, it's love. How's everybody out there like that?
Yay. You know?
My kids, they look at me and say, Dad, that kind of is like a little hippie like. It's like hippie-ish. But, you know, love is a very good word. For now, until we really find ourselves in this revelational knowledge, because, you know, Christianity is in a form of a religion that has really hurt a lot of people and has brought a lot of different doctrinal beliefs in the same religion. And it brings a tremendous amount of confusion. And I think that's why you have Catholic's Christian, right?
Yeah.
Catholic, Protestant, Methodist,
Lutheran.
Baptist, Lutheran. What other ones are there?
Episcopal,
Roman Catholic, Presbyterian.
Yeah, you name it.
You got them all.
Christian.
Pentecostal, evangelical, evangelist, whatever. And it, you know, and yes, they all surround themselves with Jesus and the apostles and, you know, prophets of old and some of the saints and stuff like that. But, you know, God loves the whole world. And his desire is not to have any divisions amongst us. And it really moves on my heart because through our transformation what God has done with us and myself, the last words that I received was, go back and tell them about my Father. You know, and they were the words of, you know, Jesus himself. Some people don't like me saying these things because it might be too far out there, but it's the truth. I can't deny it. And, you know, I understand that it is the prophets and the laws of these religions that separate everybody. It's not cool.
Correct.
It's not good.
Yep.
And Jesus, you know, our listeners have to understand our viewpoint on Jesus. I really truly believe that. This foundation has to be laid out. And Jesus is a prophet and a son of God. Yep. But we all have to understand what makes up a son of God. We all are called to be sons of God. This book, the Bible, they say it's a Christian book. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a prophetic book that has been written by the Holy Spirit through apostles. It just happens to be that I guess Christianity brought it in, right?
No, Hebrews.
The Hebrews?
It started in the Old Testament with the Hebrew mm-hmm. Pharisees.
Yeah, Judaism.
And, yeah, and all that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. But then who actually wrote on the pages? The canons, right? Back in the day?
No, the actual apostles wrote in the New Testament. Yes. And then you had the Pharisees and all those people wrote in the Old Testament, Moses. And
religious leaders of the Old Testament.
Religious, yeah.
Leaders, Moses.
And then the canons actually started to take everything and then they put it together later.
They put it
on.
Together.
They created something different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this book is the best book out of all the books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not citing for Christianity, but this is the best book of all. It is divinely written by the Holy Spirit. And who put it together? It's godly men. But moving forward, this book tells you that what it is to be a son of God. And we all have an opportunity to be sons and daughters. And I say that now, today, because God loves men and women, and I want to bring in the women in this situation because, old time religion, they basically just referred to the men, which I don't really appreciate because in heaven,
there's no male sex.
Right, there's no male nor female, yeah. So they're all transluting together and becoming one. And even moving forward, Pastor Sam and I were talking earlier about the transgender and the men and the women, being with women, men being with men and all that stuff. And, I look at Sam and Tim and I love these guys. I love them deeper. I love them very, very deep. Do I have affections for them? Yes. I'll give you a hug now. I love you so much. but what creeps in is sin, lust,
right.
And that's the bad part. But we don't want to get into that right now. We want to get into the fact that having a foundation of Jesus, understanding that he's one of the prophets, as far as God, he even made the comment, aren't we all gods? I only say what the Father tells me to say, I only do what the Father tells me to do. We are moving in that realm. Our hearts are locked into that place where my desire, and I'm sure I'm going to speak to it for the other pastors, their desire is also to only speak what the Father says and only do what the Father says and things of that nature. So, our listeners to begin to understand that when you might read, people might say, well, they said, do these things in my name or pray in my name, Jesus said, But that was in the beginning when they were finding themselves.
To give them confidence.
Yes, to give them confidence so that they would feel as though that they're using the authority of someone else who already has been tapped in. And so they're giving them greater faith.
Yes.
Because I said in his name. But later, when you understand the revelation of who you are, you'll begin to just operate and know that God is listening to you. And
he's with you.
And he's with you and in you and the whole nine yards. you don't need so-called the mediator,
Right.
And the mediator really is the divine nature that's in all of us, which is Christ. So if you ever want to break down, Jesus was the man. Christ is the divine nature that gave him the revelation of who God was or our creator, and that gave him to be son of God. So if I look at Rachel over there, and I see her, and I see the divine nature of Christ in her, then I would say she's a daughter of God because she is following the divine nature of Christ.
Yep.
And that's the same thing with Dennis over there. I see Christ in him and him following the divine nature of Christ in him, and that makes him the son of God. And so, moving forward, we're asked to overcome. And what are we to overcome? And some of us may say flesh and all this. I just want to narrow it down where we were all born, and we were born into a sin nature, but that sin nature is composed of fear. Because we're constantly protecting ourselves. We're constantly trying to defend ourselves. We're afraid. Subconsciously, we're scared. We're afraid. We're lost. And so the stronghold or the strong man that is in all of our lives is fear. And to be transformed or to be brought into that divinity or the divine presence of God or to become in his image, we need to be transformed into love. Yep. And love covers a multitude of sin.
And it casts out all fear, too. Love. When you become perfected in that love.
Yes. And love casts out fear. Yep. And through that, we are transformed into his image.
Right.
And so if I had to ever tell any of our listeners, what religion are you? I would say, religion of love.
Not like the hippies. It's not an outward love, it's an inward love.
Yeah, you know? Inward love. And so this is where I believe in this hour, God is really moving on us to war and to fight against fear. And the more we can overcome fear, the more we are being transformed into his image. And I'm going to make this really simple. Now, one thing I say is it's very hard to believe or trust or love the air, you know, that you can't see, something that you can't see. You can't feel, you can't touch it, you can't see. But there's a thing which we all know, which is called faith. And faith is a form of belief. It's not belief, but it's a form of belief. But if you can take a seed and you can plant it in your garden and you nurture it, you're applying a hope or a faith or a belief that that's actually going to grow. And maybe you'll begin to start seeing something. And then later on, that something produces fruit. Well, this is the same thing as transforming your life, allowing yourself to be transformed into a divine being in the image of God, to have a relationship with God. But everything has to start out like a seed. And, you know, I know that we have a lot of listeners out there that are longing and wanting to have a relationship with God and to have some type of doctrinal background or some type of tool to follow, you know, to learn from, an example to follow, so that, you know, we learn from our examples. I hope that we can be your example. I hope that, you know, us being here and the words that are being spoken and the direction that we're showing you, you can follow, and then you'll see as you follow and believe, you're literally planting that seed into the soil. And sooner than later, as you nurture or listen and follow and be guided by these messages, it'll be like watering that seed and nurturing that seed and plucking out the weeds around that seed. And that seed's going to eventually start growing. And you'll begin to start seeing changes in your life. And when you begin to start seeing changes in your life, you know, you're going to begin to start seeing God. You're going to begin to see his glory. I never really expect or want anybody to think that they're going to just make a commitment in their heart, okay, I'm going to, you know, follow God and give my life to God, and then not apply any type of training or work or knowledge to it. And, you know, it's a shame because discouragement will come in. They won't see anything happen in their life. You know, when we lift God up or we draw ourselves to this truth, and we begin to plant that seed, and we nurture it by the word that we're preaching. You listen to it, you hear it, you apply it, you nurture that seed. That seed's going to begin to grow. When you see that, you're going to see miracles. Yep. You're going to start seeing things happen in your life, and you're going to say, wow, oh my God, the impossible actually was possible. Your hopes and your dreams, all these things will just start to unravel. I believe one of the things that happens is that we're not taking that time to nurture or to apply the truth, to resist the fear.
Yeah.
We'll just call it fear tonight, because fear is the core, yeah, the stronghold that brings the rest of the things to it.
Yeah.
But if we can just focus on fear and overcome fear, and by doing it, you know, we cry out, Lord, help us, you know, or give me strength to overcome, or understand that, you know, all things are turned around to those who are seekers of Him. When you begin to nurture that seed, you begin to see it sprout, there's a worship that's going to come into your subconscious.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're going to take notice that those things that you were battling before, all of a sudden you have breakthroughs. The little discouragement that you had, all of a sudden maybe things are starting to become more cooperative. Things just start coming around. Your life becomes more wholesome. And then your plant gets a little bigger. You know, and then all of a sudden you see a little bit more success and miracles, you know. And then next thing you know, your plant's big enough that you're actually seeing fruit from it.
Yep.
But there always has to be that sense of knowing that you have to work it out. You have to work. If you don't work, like right now, me, I'm on a fast. My fasting was shave my head. As many of you listeners might know, I shaved my head, and don't mess with my hair, you know. So that brought me into a humble state. And then the other part of my fast was resisting fear. And I'm going to tell you right now, it knocks on your door. Temptation is there all the time, you know. How easy? How about those that are here tonight? How easy is it for you to fall into fear? It's like there every moment of the day, creeping at you. You know, you hear this, you hear that, you see this, you see that. And it's like a constant major war. How much fear have you come into just this week?
Enough.
Enough.
Had enough.
Yeah,
see, how much fear have you come
into? There all the time. And it's us to recognize it and then to resist it, because I tell you what, fear wants to be entertained, and that's why it's always knocking at our door. You know, it's like a subconscious thing keeps creeping up. Like, okay, you know what? I feel like I want to do this, and all of a sudden fear comes up. Oh, you can't do that. You know, oh, what are people going to think? What's going to happen? You know, and you start having all these imaginations, and it's all derived from fear.
If we start looking at really why God puts fear, allows fear, it's like Pastor said, it's to give us an attitude. It's to build a character in us. You know, we have to stop looking at fear as our enemy, but looking at it as God's tool to build a character in us. You know, it's like when Jesus was told to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world, he sweated as though great drops of blood out of fear. He was scared to death. He was so scared he sweated like blood. But the whole kicker of the crucifixion story is Jesus was scared to death, even to the point where in the Last Supper he said, listen, God, if it be your will, let this cup pass before me. I don't want to go die for the sins of the world. I don't want to go die for them. I don't want to do it. But he said this, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. God's trying to build a character through this fear, through this worry. You know, we get news every day, and that news could be taken in our minds, and we go to the worst case scenario every single time. We don't even allow faith to come in, the first thing that happens is our mind digests it, and we're like, oh my God, my life's going to end, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to the jail, I'm going to go to the, whatever it is, because, you know, we're not applying truth. But what God's trying to do with that fear is say, listen, I've given you the tools, I've given you the truth over and over and over to apply and start building a character and an attitude to be able to handle this, you know, to be able to walk through the fire and come out not being burned. And that's what he's trying to do every time he takes us through these things. You know, he's trying to build a character. And if we see fear and worry as tools and stop giving them power in our lives and stop saying this fear is power, but this fear is really a tool to make us, to build a character, we start looking at fear differently. And we don't see, it's like Pastor said to me before, he said, you know, 90% of the time we're praying because we are in fear or we're in worry. We're not praying, we're not praising God, we're praying to get out of this fear and worry when God's trying to build a character through it. He's taking you through circumstances to build a character in you. He's taking you through these circumstances so you can apply the truths that we speak. You can apply the truths that he's given us to overcome the fear and overcome the worry. So next battle comes up, you're like, no. I know what happens here. I got to just praise God and walk right through it. You know, Paul and Silas were in prison and they praised and they worshiped and the prison doors opened up. And, you know, we have to realize what fear is and start looking at fear differently. And if we do that, fear becomes not our enemy, but really our ally to create that character. And pretty soon, fear has no power over us anymore.
You know what's interesting? Fear is a delusional plan versus God's perfect plan. Mm-hmm. God's perfect plan is his love, and it builds your character.
You're right.
Fear is a delusional plan that's created from imaginations.
By saying that, what you're saying is we choose how we allow fear to build us or destroy us. It's
right.
Our choice.
True.
It's our choice whether we're going to allow fear to destroy us or build us. That's our choice, and that's what he's given us in the truth that we speak in here. That's why you got to go back to the beginning messages and keep listening to them. Keep listening to them. And like Pastor said, the more you listen to these messages, your flower, your little seed starts growing. Just by listening. You don't got to understand everything. You're not going to get it all. You're not going to get it all the first time. You keep listening, and the flower starts growing. And pretty soon it's a tree. And pretty soon there's fruit there, and you're eating it, and you're finding peace. Look, the word comes, and it gives you peace in a tough circumstance. It gets you through. And if you get through,
you got to work it too, though.
You have to labor.
You have
Listen,
to work
it. It says you got to labor to be in my rest. That's it says labor one time in the whole new Bible. In the Bible, it says labor to be in my rest. It means work. Work to be in my rest. Apply the truth. Keep fighting because it's a fight. It's not easy. Listen, if it was easy, I don't know, man. It's not easy. It's in the world, you will have troubles. But fear not. We've overcome the world, you know?
You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, and I began to narrow it down to, for one, we've come here because of a fall. All right, we betrayed God.
Correct.
Just the way it is. We betrayed God. If you want to believe it or not, that's fine with you. But you ask yourself, what are you here for, right?
why are we being redeemed? Back to what?
Exactly right.
We were there and we're being redeemed back.
Okay. Well, we weren't placed here just to try to fill some hopes and dreams and establish a house or buy a car or raise a family. That we were here to be transformed into his image. So he stripped his glory from us. He sent us down on earth. We took on a form which we could call sin nature. But I want to call it more tonight a fear nature. And God is calling us back to him, but we hurt him. We disappointed him. Now we have to bring trust back to him.
Right.
And we have to be proven and tried and proven to show that we can be trusted by him again.
Amen.
Yep. And so it's like, you know, you go through, and I'm going to give you a free will. And I want to see you, first of all, I've given you the power to overcome fear. So I'm going to see if you can use this power to destroy fear and come into perfect love. And when you enter into perfect love, you have basically took on my image, and now you're worthy to come back to me. And that's really the story in the nutshell. If anybody ever had any kind of, you know, question why we're here and what's the purpose of being transformed, the purpose to be transformed into love is for an eternal life. And in order for us to have this eternal life, listen, we're all going to die. And our bodies are our bodies will go into the ground, but our spirits will be resurrected up. And our spirits have a place to go. And not everybody believes this. But, you know, I just hope and pray that God will tug on your heart to believe it. It is true. And, you know, I can't open up ears. I can't open up eyes. You know, only God opens up ears and opens up eyes. It's a mystery, but that's just the way it is. He opened my eyes, and I see the truth. He opened up Pastor Sam's and Pastor Tim. Our eyes are open. That's why we have this ministry. That's why we forsaked a lot of things in our lives to do what we're doing and be an example and to be. And we're warring within our own flesh. We're warring against
every day this
yep. fear. We're to bring into the and find this mystery of love. It's not an earthly love. Mm-hmm. It's a divine love that no one really understands. It's a child. It's a child love. When a child comes into the world, I truly believe that child is pure love.
Amen. Yep.
I truly believe that child is pure love up until a certain age where it begins to start receiving fear.
And starts understanding fear.
And when fear begins to enter into that child is now losing the love.
Yes.
And gaining fear. When you're an adult like us, you're pretty much filled with fear and lacking very little love. Now, you might have some earthly love. You love your children. You love, you know, this. You love that. But I'm talking about a love that is brings an unconditional love. It brings a forgiveness. It brings a wisdom to not judge and to know that they're suffering too. And mercy enters your heart and grace enters your heart. It's a love that surpasses understanding. It's a love that we aren't really familiar with, but we're longing for it. And once we receive this love in our own personal life, it gives you a sense of security, a sense of comfort. And, you know, Christianity and others might call it the Holy Spirit, you know, the comforter. I'm going to just bring it right down to the main core, love. And when you have love, you have God. But it's not the love that we know on earth.
It's not a worldly love.
It's a divine, supernatural, spiritual love that surpasses your understanding, that makes you look like a fool like me, that confesses the space or the universe as our supreme being who guides us and leads us and protects us. And that we won't steer to the left or steer to the right. And we're constantly meditating to the universe, to God, to love. And we're embracing it with all our heart, soul, and mind to the point where we live with such a deep conviction. We make a point on Sundays, the old services, and Wednesday evenings to speak to you now and share this truth so that you will be able to experience and be a part of a life. And without this truth, without this life, there's no reason to live. For what? Vanity, struggles, wars, rumors of wars. You're gonna fight into a paper bag and get nowhere. You'll never enter rest. Everything will be a big deal in your life. You'll be a hot mess.
Drama.
Filled with drama, you'll never be able to enter into peace, and you'll never ever have a sound mind, and you'll never really have joy. You'll have material things that you'll strive for, and you'll keep striving for it until you find a little joy out of it. You'll strive for some more to find a little peace, and then eventually when you run out of your resources, your joy will be gone. Your peace will be gone, and you just have no salvation. You're not saved. But with this truth, you can have this love, which is supernatural, and you can have lost everything, yet you still have everything.
Correct.
you can have all the storms around you, but you'll still have great peace and great joy. I mean, bad news can come and you'd be like, interesting, okay, and have power to know how to handle it. Yep. You know, you won't be tossed to and fro and panicking and, you know, all worked up. You'll be able to sleep at night. Anxiety, depression, all that. What is it? Right. You know, what is it? There are things that are happening in our world, and it's sad. It's happening all over the place. People are turning to the wrong things to try to find feeling, trying to find peace,
right,
trying to find joy.
Trying to sleep.
Just to try to find rest.
Yep.
They're trying all these things, and it might work for a moment,
yep,
but in another hour or two, it'll all wear off.
Yep.
It's gone. This truth, which is free, you don't have to pay for it.
Right.
It's given to us. You just have to believe in it, apply it, and nurture it. And all of a sudden, you have more peace than you did the other day. You'll have more joy than you had the other day. And within a year, 2 years, you know, you're going to see a huge difference in your life. And then it'll give you the energy and the strength to do those things that you were created for. The passions and the hopes and the desires that are inside of us. The makeup that all together comes around only to glorify God. Only to bring his name and worship due to him, which really, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
I mean, I like to try to make it as simple as possible for our listeners. You know, they're walking in a form of insanity, like zombies, trying to do the same thing over and over again, looking for different results. They blame everything else.
Patience.
You know, they look at it. It's my job. If I had a better job, I wouldn't be this way. It's money. If I had more money, I wouldn't feel this way. If it was, you know, if I had a house, I wouldn't feel this way. If I had a car, I wouldn't feel, you know, yes, these things do slightly make things easier.
It's an internal disease called fear.
It is. It's internal.
It's a disease.
It's a disease.
You know, it eats at you. It transforms you into this monster.
Well, the crazy thing is, you know, you listen to a younger individual, you know, if I only had a car, I'd be happy. So they get old enough, they finally were able to buy their car, and then it's like, if I only had a girlfriend, I'd be
right.
happy.
It's
well,
only,
I thought it was.
Only if
I thought you had. I thought you know you had to have a car. You know.
Right.
Well, if I only had someone in my life that I could love, right? Okay, they found their lover of their life, you know. Well, if I only had a job now. Okay, they got their job. Still not happy. If I only had a house. They get their house.
Kids.
Right. Now what?
Well, you know, if I only had kids now.
Like retirement.
And it just keeps building and building. And they're looking at these things for them to basically
be satisfied.
Find what they're really looking for.
Right.
And it's that eternal love. They're looking for that eternal love. And they just don't know how to obtain it. And, you know, I feel real bad for... I'm very grateful that somehow or another I obtained it. Supernaturally, it happened. I didn't ask for it, but it happened. Others, they obtained it. I look at Tim and I look at Sam. They obtained it. They obtained it. And I'm very... grateful for them obtaining this love, this truth, and it's an awesome thing. But the way it happened was, I truly believe you began to put that seed in the ground.
Mm. Yep.
I used to say, true, you have to get to the point of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. You have to reach a point of saying, you know what, there's got to be more in life than this.
Right. It's true.
There has to be something more. And a divine intervention has to come. My prayer tonight is that this divine intervention comes into their hearts. I wish that they would begin to stop, you know, looking at themselves, surrendering themselves down, because self in itself, when you're self-preserved and it's all about you, you'll fail. If you look at others and serve others, you'll get out of self, and this is the beginning of salvation. It allows you to enter into this supernatural love. Selfishness and being a lover of self will not allow you to get into this supernatural love. This supernatural love is really an outpouring to see others blessed, to see others fortunate, prosper, you know, looking out for their best well-being, looking out for their best interest, always looking outward. When you look inward in that area of love, it's self-absorbed, and it's very hard to enter into the supernatural love. If you look at all the truths in Scripture, it was because he laid his life down for others, you know, and not self-consumed. When you're self-consumed, it's a big, hard issue. It's not all about you. If it's all about you, you're going to have a really hard time finding this love. I think Pastor Sam has a scripture.
Real quick. It's a scripture on love. And it just basically says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's what we're talking about.
And that's that supernatural love. Now, I think the best thing for our listeners is now you have to work out this. Faith comes by hearing, and, you know, and without works and faith,
you need to put it together.
Right. Yeah. It's not going to work.
It's not.
So, you know, if there's a way, where scripture verse was that? Maybe
First
our listeners.
Corinthians. It was
1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yes.
Starting off with verse something.
4.
Verse 4.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 starts.
And if you can, pick yourself up a Bible or something.
Your phone's your Bible. Smartphones. Just go on a smartphone and punch scripture and it comes right up.
Yep. So punch
any device.
Yeah. And lay it out. Start planting those seeds in each and every one. You got to start somewhere.
Yep.
You got to start somewhere. You got to take this serious and start somewhere. You can't just complain all the time. Everybody seems to be complaining that they're not happy, they don't have this, they don't have that. You know, the spiritual realm is so deep. But to give you the deep stuff, you know, and talk about all this deep stuff,
it's worthless right now.
It wouldn't do you any good. It's like feeding a babe meat. You know, a babe needs milk. He needs to suck on a little bit of milk. And so you have to sometimes go to the milk with our listeners, and they got to begin to understand the simplicity and the fact that they really need to lay their life down, deny themselves. I truly believe a lot of our robbery, because of the sin nature of fear, we're so self-absorbed and trying to protect ourselves so much.
Yep.
Even justifying ourselves. Has anyone ever tried to stand up for themselves and argue to somebody and justify themselves? Yeah. Well, that's a sign of ego,
self-love.
Correct.
You know, we shouldn't war and argue, debate in anything.
No.
Right now, we're trying to defend self. And it's like, you know what? We got to stop this. We got to break ourselves down. You know, whether we're right or wrong
or
whatever. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Who cares?
You know, and if that person wants to be right, then let them be right. You know, at the point of when you begin to start really understanding, when you taste the glory, you're not going to want to argue. You're not going to want to be self-absorbed and things of that nature. You know, you'll walk away from wars and things.
You know, there's a scripture verse that says God is love. And there was a debate on Facebook 2 days ago. And there was a bunch of people on there, probably atheists. They were all basically giving their opinion about love. And they couldn't understand or fathom how God is love. Well, Pastor Sam shared a video today about a Marine that came home from overseas. And he saw his child for the first time in a long time. And that child was stricken with cerebral palsy. And it never walked before. And that child took steps to his father. What possessed him to walk? It was the loving power of God in that child that caused him to walk. If you don't believe that God is not love, and you saw that video, then you're never going to believe. Because in love, in God's love, possesses miracles. When Jesus was doing miracle signs and wonders, and God was performing them through Jesus, it was because of God's love and compassion for those people. It wasn't out of Jesus' selfishness. It wasn't out of self-interest, but his interest was in them because God possessed that love inside of him, and that's what caused those miracles to happen, because God is love. And that's what this ministry brings. We bring the love of God. Our interest is in you. It's not in ourselves. We could be home watching TV tonight or on Sundays. We could be hanging out with the kids at the shore. But you know what? God's love in us possesses us to come here and share with you the truth and the living gospel that, you know, God is love and God is in love in you. And he's a power. Love is a power that pushes you and makes you do things that you couldn't even think that you could ever do.
And draws things to you.
And draws things to you.
Yeah.
Transforms you. Makes you new.
I actually used that same example that you were sharing earlier. And I said that, you know, Jesus was one who mastered love. And in the heavenlies, there is none who has reached the level of love like the prophets and the other scribes and all. We got the red light, and I got to end this. But with that being said, you know, the compassion and the love that he had for the multitude, okay?
Yep.
He looked up in the heavens and said, Father, feed them.
Yeah.
And he had two loaves and two fishes or whatever, some loaves or whatever. And because of the love, he started just to break that apart. And it multiplied out of love.
Amen.
Yep. You see? And so I believe as we get out of ourselves and look at the outside and see the need and the love that we have to give unconditionally and desire this love, work it out, cast out all fears. Because for one, the disciples even said, how are we going to feed them all? You know, there was fear there questioning the divine nature of love.
Amen. That's true.
And he was like, you know what? My Father in heaven loves these people too. And he'll feed them.
He'll provide for it.
He'll provide.
Yeah.
And so he just took that effort to demonstrate love. And I believe this happens in our own lives by us just demonstrating. You know, they were able to see God because of the many signs and wonder miracles he was doing. But he wasn't doing it. He was doing it out of love. And the miracle signs and wonders were being poured out in love.
That's right.
And, you know, even being resurrected from the dead was just because of love. Yeah. And I truly believe that there are many out there who need this resurrection, needs this power, needs to come out of their graves and live a life. Yeah. And what's keeping them in the grave, what's keeping them down in the dumps is fear. Yeah. And this fear is mixed with, I'm going to say, ego.
Self-love, yeah.
Self-love.
Yeah.
And as long as you have your self-love and you love yourself, I mean, granted, you have to love yourself. You have to come to a place of forgiving yourself. You know, you have to feel good about yourself.
But it's not to the point where it's over other people's needs.
Exactly right. You're robbing.
You can do that.
You're stealing and robbing.
Yeah.
And when you have fear in you, fear's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And what is it stealing, killing, and destroying?
Love.
It's, yes, that in itself, but it's also stealing the power, killing and destroying the power that draws supernaturally opportunity to your life. Things that make a way where there is no way.
Yeah.
Peace, joy,
everything.
Let's take it to a material world, because the material world really doesn't understand peace and joy right now. They understand a job. They understand a new car. They understand money in their pocket, you know? And they feel so desperate because they might not have these things. And they feel as though that when they do obtain these things, then they'll be able to work on having some joy. And you don't know what it's like to be homeless and have two children and not be able to afford a house. And you're talking to me about peace and joy and love and all. You don't understand the hardship that I'm going through. And I'm like, I can get you out of that place.
Yep.
You know, and I met someone not too long ago that was saying that same line, and I told them, and they said, well, I do know God, and I'm like,
do you?
And they go to they go to church all the time and everything else.
You do?
And that's what I said.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I told them that they really need to stop complaining. They really need to start being grateful for their children that they do have. Thank God that they delivered them from the drugs that they were addicted to, and you know, and they, because they started cleaning up their act, and you know, thank God, you know, and begin to start thanking God.
And they were homeless. Now they had a home.
Yeah.
They just reported that they got approved for an apartment. You see, I truly believe we just have to get out of the self. Allowing this supernatural love to come forth. If you want to know more about this love, just keep following the ministry. We're going to start teaching about love. We've been teaching about love, but in different ways. But we're going to start teaching more and more on a deeper level of love.
Yeah.
My God, our God, is love.
That's right.
And it's the God of the universe. And we want you to know this, God. But I want to be able to bring a lost world who has no knowledge of anything to start knowing this God, this love.
Amen.
And with that being said, we have to end. But thank you for listening. Thank you for those that are here today. Thank you for your support.
Yeah.
Continue to keep us, you know, in your hearts and prayers. And keep logging on and listening. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Yeah. Amen.